Okay, so we're moving now from Onaz, Mammon, to Onaz, Dvarim. The source sheet looks longer than it is, just because they're PDFs and stuff like that. Okay, so the Mishnah writes as follows. G'shem shona b'mekach u'memgar kach ona b'dvarim. It's just like there is ona'a by sales, so there's also ona'a by words. Examples, lo yomer lo b'kama chevet zev, v'hoina rotzali kach, don't say how much does this cost, and you don't really want to buy it. V'im hu bal tshuva, im hay bal tshuva, lo yomer lo z'chor ma'asecha rishonim. Someone is a bal tshuva, so don't tell him, right, not bal tshuva in the modern sense, but anybody who has ever sinned, don't, and now done tshuva, don't tell him, remember what you used to do. Im hu ben gerim, and he is the child of a ger, so lo yomer lo z'chor ma'asecha v'asecha, don't say, remember what your forefathers did. Shenem ar v'ger lo sonev lo z'chotzenu. So the Gemara says, "Tan Rabbana, Lo Sonu Ish Hazami." So, "Onaz Dvarma Kosev Medaber." The pasuk of Lo Sonu Ish Hazami so refers to Onaz Dvarim. Atam Benoz Dvarim Eino Beonavos Mamon. How do you know this just isn't just referring to everything we've been talking about for the last 6 months? Kishomer Chizim Kirumem Karlam Isecha Konami Anam Isecha Reonaz Mamon Amor. Because we already have a pasuk about that. Hamani Makayim Lo Sonu Ish Hazami. So, what does the second pasuk teach us? Onaz Dvarim. There's a second category of Onaz Dvarim. Haketz. I don't think Gemara brings the examples with a little bit more detail than we had before. Okay, it gives a few more examples. The central question we really need to deal with Onaz Dvarim, is what is the relationship between Onaz Dvarim, causing people pain with words, and Onaz Mammon? What we have seen the last 6 months of overcharging people deceptively. So I think if we wanted to lay out our theoretical models, we have a few possibilities, right? One is to say that Onaz Dvarim and Onaz Mammon have nothing to do with each other. They share a terminology, but they're two separate things. One is deceptively cheating somebody, overcharging them. The other one is causing people pain with words. The pasuk uses the same word. Okay, big deal. We refer to them by the same term. Okay, they're two completely separate things. Alternatively, you can
the word oino.
Right, from so, losonu, right?
What does it actually mean?
What?
That was my initial sheet.
Yeah.
Right. So it's
I'm assuming you're gonna address it, but I explained it as using one's strength or position of power over somebody else. Oven is like
right.
My strength, my energy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hone is wealth. It was a whole.
Yeah. So the second, direction we can take is to say no. Ona's Mammon and Onaz Dvarim are similar fundamentally, but we can do that one of two ways. We can either do that by take Onaz Mammon as the controlling category and explain how Onaz Dvarim is really like Onaz Mammon, or the other way around. And I'm not sure I said that right, but fine. So for example, we could say that really, the fact that Onaz Dvarim, right, we might have thought Onaz Mammon tells you that Onaz is a form of Gezel, as the Gemara will outline in the beginning of the next parak. But Onaz Dvarim is clearly not about stealing, it's about causing people pain. So maybe we misunderstood Onaz. The last 6 months has nothing to do with stealing. Yes, it's about deceptively overcharging people, but really, the problem is that you're causing people pain. And it has nothing to do with the monetary component. That's just a particular expression of this general category of Onaz. That would be one way of unifying them. The second would be to say that the other way around. We tend to view Onaz Dvarim as causing somebody pain. But maybe, just like Onaz Mammon is in some way taking something of value from somebody without, but not by right, so Onaz Dvarim is the same thing. There's a level of deceptively stealing from someone who you are harming verbally. Now, of course, you can always take a middle position that there are some types of Onaz Dvarim that are domet to Onaz Mammon and some which are distinct, right? Then we'd have to ask the same question, what is the relationship between the non-Onaz Mammon Onaz Dvarim and Onaz Mammon? But again, you could always come up with a middle category where we split the difference. Okay.
Maybe another suggestion that you can say that the basic is, we have two levels. The basic is Onaz Dvarim. That every time that you do Onaz Mammon, it's also Onaz Dvarim. And when we talk about the shtut, less than shtut, I said, okay, what's happening is less than shtut. That it's, you don't have a problem with it. But what happened with the love.
Said, yeah. Right, so that's what we'll get into, and that'll be the Pitchei Tshuva right in three that we've already seen, right? But that would imply that yes, right? Meaning Onat Dvarim, the main category is Onat Dvarim, and Onat Mamon is a second level category, and really is about causing pain. If you also steal from them, it's just a aggravated Onat Dvarim. Okay, so Meiri starts this off by telling us that there are, in fact, two categories, right? There are two categories, and he notes something which should stare us in the face, which is the transition example from the beginning of the parak on Onat Mamon to the part of it talking about Onat Dvarim is a case of Onat Dvarim which has to do with money, which tells you that there are at least some cases which seem to be somewhere in between. Now, I'll just point out parenthetically, we don't have time to get into this. In general, Avi Wolfish has done a lot of work on this, that if you want to understand Chazal's perspective on it, you have to remember that Chazal start with the unit of the Mishnah, right? We get caught in the Gemara, but if you want to understand a basic perspective, you just need to look at the Mishnah and see the unit that they're building, because there's often a conceptual build to a perek which will tell you how Chazal think about it. So if you look at the perek here, it actually makes sense, right? That you start with, right? We'll actually start with parts of the parak we didn't look at, but that's another story. Then you go from Onat Mamon to a transition to Onat Dvarim, which is Chazal begging you to figure out the connection between these two by structuring it. His classic example of where you understand how Chazal think about things is the first parak of Kiddushin, where you have a similar problem, where the whole beginning of the parak, like the first All the Mishnayos until the last two Mishnayos talk about Kinyanim, Kinyanim Ishus, Kinyanim Avadim, Kinyanim Karka, Kinyanim Metaltlin, and then at the end you have, for no reason whatsoever, Kol Mitzvos Ha'av, right? Kol Mitzvos Ha'ben Adlizav, and Ben Al-Av, Av Al-Ben, etc., and then a discussion of Olam Haba, right? And you wonder, why is this in the Perek? So Avi Wolfish suggests, based on the Pnei Yeshua, that Chazal, the first parak of Kiddushin is about Kinyanim. There are Kinyanim Olam Hazeh, there are Kinyanim Olam Haba. The derech of Kinyan of Olam Haba is mitzvos, right? And that's why he gets put in the first parak, right? And by putting in the parak, it's asking you to think about the connection. So here you clearly see the same thing. They're asking you to think about the connection between Onat Dvarim and Onat Mamon, especially by putting a transition category in between.
Are you going to get into the question of, in fact, whether that case, the store case, is only if you're costing him Mamon?
Yeah, and that's the Rashbam discussion. Right. Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. So the Meiri takes up and says as follows: Amar Meiri, Kshem Shishonav Bemekach Umemgar Kach Yeshonav Bidvarim. Ratzolomar Shasol Hanus Chaver Uvelagrum Lo Pseida Bidvarav. So the Meiri says, right, at least this transitional category, right, is a case of Onat Dvarim, which is causing him loss. Vehush Amar Lo Liyomar Lo Bekam Chevit Zevilino Ratzolikach Sharei Mitoch Shu Bosh Lomar Shino Ratzolikach Mash Belo Mikcha Lomar Shino Shavet. How is this going to work? You are going to come in, and you have no intention of buying it, and you're going to, you know, talk him up. You're going to be right showrooming. You're going to go in. You're going to ask him, "Oh, it's such a great product." He's going to tell you for 15 minutes, you know, the whole spiel about this is so great, and we have the best prices in the city, and then you're going to walk out, and he's not going to realize you had no intent to buy. He's going to think you're someone who wanted to buy, and he just didn't do the spiel right, and he thinks he put in his best effort, and what's he going to think? Oh, it must be that I'm not as convincing as I thought about. This is not as valuable as I thought, and now he's going to charge less because you've taken away his confidence to actually charge on it, right? So now, mashpil lo mikcho, lo mashino shavet kol kach, v'achirim shomim, right? So either he'll charge less, or v'achirim shomim, and zegorim lo pseid, or other people will see, right, that he couldn't manage to convince you, and they'll say, well, he apparently wasn't convinced to buy it at $100, so I'll only offer $90. V'afilo hayad
m'sham. Was that the way you read it? The Meiri is saying that the buyer, rather than say, it's not a showrooming case. Showrooming is intentional. I walked in never planning to buy. This is the buyer doesn't want to buy it, but rather than say, you know what, I can't afford it or something like that, he'll say, yeah, it's not worth it, in order to save his own honor. And then the other people in the store...
Oh, you're sorry. Right. He's saying, right, he'll say it's not worth so much. Other people, and they won't charge him, so, right, they won't pay as much, right? That's Right, I'm already anticipating. And even if he doesn't, even if there's nobody else there, he's still causing him pain. And then we go to actual nosdvarim, where you shouldn't embarrass him, etc. So the Miri, right, says that there's a, this transition case tells you that there's actual onaz mamon, right, where you deceptively steal from somebody. Then there's cases where I cause somebody a loss of money through my words, which is sort of a middle category, right, where I am mizalzel the value of something, right, and then there's cases which are stam onaz dvarim. Now, from the Meiri, right, on the one hand, you see that there's middle categories, which are onaz dvarim, which are really related to onaz mamon. Mitzad sheni, he thinks, he seems to think that onaz dvarim has nothing to do with onaz mamon, because, as he says, and once we have a case of onaz dvarim, which is monitoring this galgil to onaz dvarim. So he ironically says there's two categories, one which is a subcategory of onaz mamon, and the other ones come in derech agav, but really, onaz captures two main categories, onaz mamon, onaz dvarim. There are some onaz dvarim that are middle cases, but real onaz dvarim is not under onaz mamon, right? So he ironically, right, says that standard onaz dvarim is not onaz mamon. It's not related to onaz mamon. There are cases which are. On the other hand, right, you have the, right, lav davka, depends what you think niskalgil means, right? It's very hard, because Meiri uses that all the time, and sometimes he means niskalgil like sort of derech agav it came up, and sometimes it means niskalgil means the natural progression was too. It depends. He uses it in the introduction of every single Mesechta in Shas, to the best of my knowledge, and every prayer. So you never quite know. So it's hard to tell. But that, at least, is sort of what it sounds like, because he, right, does make that sharp break. On the other hand, the Marshal, quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva number 3, seems to unite the two. Right? Because the Marshal, commenting on Eino Na Ba'avadim Beshtaris Bekarkos, says, V'da the Marshal, cause of Daftir Shmito Hani Bidin Ona, Mikol Mogol, Ligar Me'ona Zvar, Mekneva's Das, V'chol Osanu Isha Dachiv Hain. Even though you don't violate Ona's Mamon for Avadim Shtaris and Karkos, you violate Ona's Dvarim. Right? So he seems to think that, look, there's one big category of Ona'ah, right? He doesn't explain how they're united, but presumably, right, he takes the more overarching category to be onaz dvarim, right? He's saying, really, the problem is causing pain. And therefore, at the very least, onah on karka is going to be, like, causing pain. Onah on metalflin has an added level. It has a chiyuv hachzara, it has a whatever. But he unites them and says, no, really, all of onah, onaz dvarim and onaz mamon, is about causing pain. Right, that's how I would interpret it. And therefore, even the cases where I don't formally fall into the category of onaz mamon, it's still, onaz dvarim is in the background of everything. Okay, now just for a moment on the actual the showrooming case, even the Meiri identifies this case as actual pseida, where I write badmouth something so it actually costs less. But there's another Gemara which addresses this type of case, which is the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara says as follows: Al tamid al mekach b'shashen l'chadamim. Right, you shouldn't go asking for the price of something when you don't have the money to pay. So Rashbam says al tamid al mekach l'schar amocher. Right, when you go to a Jewish businessman, and now no one will buy it because you're involved with it. Right, you come in, you waste the time. Right, we're not talking about like a Sears or a Macy's where there's 20 people who could help you. And if you're talking to one customer service person or one salesman, they'll talk to someone else. It's a mom and pop shop. There's one person. If you're taking up the time, someone else is going to come in and say, you know, forget it. I don't have the time for this. I'm going to leave. And you're actually going to cause money. Now, so I was discussing this with Adam Yaron. On the one hand, the Rashbam, right, this sounds very similar to the case of Onad Dvarim, which is Mamon, in our Gemara. On the other hand, it appears in a totally different Gemara in a different phrase, right? And sounds like, I'm not convinced that Adam is right, that it sounds like advice and not onaz dvarim.
Okay,
I'm never totally convinced by that, right? I mean, yes, he's being given advice, but like I said, I'm not totally convinced, just like by the Reb Zera thing, which we'll get to, right? I lived a long life because I was never machana shame, right? So some of the Rishonim say it must be he was doing something that wasn't right. He is praising himself for doing things. We're going lefin mishur hasadin. Other Rishonim say no. Who cares? You can give advice. I don't know. I'm not convinced. But I'm not convinced. But at any rate, this is what we might call onas dvarim sheyesh bo mamon. But the Rashbam clearly, you know, puts it under another category. Thinks it's al tamad al megvash ashen lechav damim. Now you could just say, you know, it's advice about onas dvarim mitzad sheni. You could say no, that the Meiri's suggestion that there's such a thing as Onas Dvarim that actually causes Hefsed Mamon is not true. If it causes Hefsed Mamon, it's something else. Onas Dvarim is not about Hefsed Mamon, and any case of showrooming is not Onas Dvarim, it's, you know, Hefsed Mamon. It's a separate thing. It's Gnevas Das, whatever it is, right? But it's not Onas Dvarim, and it's not really Onas Mamon either, because it's not Onah, right? So it's Gnevas Das. It's a different problem, right? That's a Segun Chulin. Right, the Shulchan Aruch Rav commenting on that says, "V'chein lo yomer lechaver b'kama timchor chavet zev u'inu chavet laknoza." Right, you shouldn't ask someone how much something costs when you don't really want to buy it. Oh, she'ein lo damim, or he doesn't have money. We discussed this yesterday also. I don't think those are necessarily different. I think he's just highlighting, right, that it's not, right, there's no distinction between someone who says, I just want to waste your time, and someone who says, well, look, if I was a millionaire, I would go shopping in Saks Fifth Avenue. I can, so I'm going to try things on, right?
I'm just pointing out, there could be a case where you have no money right now, but you could have it, and you maybe might buy this.
Correct, but I don't think that's us, sir. I think that if someone doesn't have the money now,
this is advice, then it could be that's what it's talking about.
Maybe. But the Shulchan Aruch Rav, I think, is not describing that case. The Shulchan Aruch Rav, I think, is trying to tell you that the person who just likes going to Saks Fifth Avenue and feeling rich, right, even though she'll say, well, no, I really wish I could buy these things. It's not that I don't want to buy it, it's that I don't have the money. That's also not Dvarim. I don't care why you're not planning on buying. If it's because you don't want it or you don't have the money, this is Aser, right? Elish kavanos lahatos chaveru akach shlo yiknech yaker chaveru sheniskaven lahatos of yitzerlo. And then when he realizes you were trying to trick him, it'll cause him pain. Now, the Shulchan Aruch Rav commenting on this highlights, not like the Rashbam, that the problem isn't the hefsed mamon, it's the pain. Now, whether or not the Shulchan Aruch Rav is identifying this with onas dvarim, right? With onah, right? It's in the category of onah ugnevas das. And this, I think, works with what I said in the Pesachei Tshuva before, that really, even Onas Dvarim, Onas Mamon may be about causing pain, and therefore I can have things like this, where even though, yes, he's actually causing him, right, a loss of money, the real problem is that he's causing him pain. They're all, right, that's the real problem in Onah.
That the Shulchan Aruch Rav is also holding like the Rishbam, and he thinks there's a loss of money here?
No, I'm not convinced that he is, I'm also not convinced that he isn't. Right, it's very hard to tell. Right, meaning I tend to think that it could cause him money. Right, it could cause him a loss of money, and it's not just the pain; it's the pain of being cheated out of money as well. But you're right; it could just be that it'll cause him pain. Stop. It's very hard to tell with these.
The problem is that we have an overarching category of keeping somebody from business, whether by keeping him from doing work or whether by keeping his assets from doing work on his behalf. You know, literally, you lock him in, or you trick him into coming to the field, and there's actually no work to do.
Right. Or you're just making him spend time that is not going to lead anywhere.
All cases where we state any kind of iser and certainly liability, it's always more direct than what you've done here. I mean, this is really indirect. You didn't force him to stand there talking to you. You didn't,
Right, but on the other hand,
you didn't chase people away.
Right, but on the other hand, it may. Right, and the question is, what's the?
It can result in it, but it's not.
Yeah.
I see the Shulchan Aruch Rav adds that Shekavanosai Lahatis.
Yeah.
Does everybody hold that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty standard. That in so these types of cases, right?
So you can walk into the store and ask innocently, how much is that?
Yeah, I mean, if why you not? Go, yeah, why not? I mean,
so that's not a Kavanah Lahatis.
No, right, I think if you walk into a store and say, how much it is, right, how much is this, they know that if it's
and
too expensive, you're not going to buy
you
it.
See
right?
That you've spent 10 minutes of his time.
Right, but sometimes you're really open to being convinced. I don't know.
You noticed the wording, right? The wording was that he's going to be upset because he's going to realize this guy was just giving me a hard time for nothing.
Yeah.
He doesn't say that when someone walks into the store and asks how much something is and realizes it's not in his league.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, well, yeah. Okay. The Dilgas Seir Chasidim in 7 and 8, he comments on this as well. He says, Al Yifatas b'nei Adam, kach lekach radzi, litin lebesoro, shayomrani kanisi, b'kach lekach. Valzenem, ashej zir lo azu avla, that's first F. And lochazar rovim, so b'fiem, loshon tarmid. Val yite hachavetzim leknot, shir lehem panim, he just highlights what I think should be obvious. This doesn't only apply to to a buyer, potential buyer to a seller, especially if you think there's a problem of onat dvarim, like not a bit hafsid mamon. It also applies the other way around, right? Don't make people think that you're going to sell something to them when you're not. Right, so especially if you think that onat dvarim doesn't need to have, even this part doesn't need to have to do with money, so obviously it applies in both directions. Right, in general he says, right, what should you do? Right, don't have any false pretenses. If you, right, want to know how much something is, just ask. Right, how much is it? Don't say I want to buy it. Say I'm looking to buy it. You know, how much is it? You know, make clear your intentions. Okay, so again, just to summarize what we've seen so far. Right, we have onas dvarim, we have onas mamon. The question is the connection between them, and we have this middle case, which may be hafsid mamon, maybe not. One way of reading the Rashbam is basically to say, look, onaz dvarim and onaz mamon lo karav zal zeh. And therefore, if the case of showrooming is actually going to cause someone to lose money, that's not called onaz dvarim, that's gnevas das. Onaz dvarim is just causing somebody pain. Onaz mamon is the deceptive overcharging we've talked about. Causing people losses in other ways is gnevas das or something else or whatever it is. Right? That's at least one way of reading the Rashbam. That's why showrooming appears in Psachim and not in our Gemara. The Meiri says no, the case of showrooming is a middle category, somewhere between onaz dvarim and onaz mamon, but from his words it implies that maybe pure onaz dvarim really is about pain, and onaz mamon really is about money, and they are under an overarching category. You have a transition to show that sometimes the border isn't so clear. On the other hand, you have the Pisgei Tshuva, quoting the Marshal, which seems to go in the direction that no, the reason onat dvarim and onat mamon are all under one big category, and why you have some onat dvarim, which is really just about causing pain, and some which are monetary related, whether it be the showrooming case or it be onat bikarka, shtaris, and karkaos, is because onat, as a general category, is really about causing pain. Onaz mamon is just one expression of that. The radical way of saying, I should have moved it earlier, but the radical way of saying that onaz dvarim and onaz mamon have nothing to do with each other, right, is really the hamek davar in 13. You just skip down to 13 for a second. Then it says losano ishes amiso yadua hadrash u azhar l'onaz dvarim. We know that the Gemara says losonu is about onaz dvarim. Uvasher shematzi hu b'maso matel niskatzi v'lanas chaveru b'dvarim mishumachi samach azharazu lekan shengizkar. I don't even know what happened there. Nizkar az me osa azhara vuadin b'chol shah. Right, then it says, look, why is it called onaz dvarim? Because people in business tend to drive each other nuts and cause each other pain. But in a chanami, onaz dvarim is only an azhara. It's only an asmachta. It's an asmachta on onah. What we call onaz dvarim has absolutely nothing to do with onah. It's a totally separate category. That's the radical way of saying onaz dvarim is about causing pain. It has nothing to do with onaz mamon. Why do we call them onah? It's an asmachta ba'alma, right? Which is, you know, sort of a striking way of saying that they're two completely separate things. Yeah.
The Maharshal, it seems pretty clear from the other sources of onat dvarim that there has to be at least some intent to deceive or some intent to cause pain or something.
Okay.
So what about cases where you did onat mamon, whatever, onat bekarka, but you never had any intention like that? How can that boil down to a case of onat dvarim? You could have a perfectly reasonable sale where everyone thought they were doing the right thing, and then
because you still have such a thing as shogeg,
it's still going to be shogeg. Meaning,
well, if you think there's,
but if it's dependent, if the presence of the isser altogether is dependent on my And that's true to deceive for or not.
And right. That would be true. No, because...
I can't be deceiving someone if I didn't know that I was deceiving them.
Right. Right. The difference is that when you're dealing with commerce, when you're dealing with a sale, the person's pain comes out of having been cheated. When you're dealing with negotiation in a store, the person's pain comes out of a feeling of, this guy wanted to take advantage of me. In other words, the definition of the pain involved in Onas Devarim is the feeling of somebody was trying to hurt me. The feeling of pain in a financial transaction, it doesn't matter whether the guy was trying to hurt me or not, I got hurt. You know what I'm saying? They're two different
or the mashal will just assume it's a case where I meant to overcharge.
But he ties, yeah. Said it's onah. It's like a lo gari meonat varim vigni
b'tah. The definition of harm in a financial case lost money.
It's more objective, you know, or more quantifiable is really the word.
You're still in this. Okay, well,
that's good. Yeah. Okay. The Pesachei Trojan just has an interesting question on this, right? He says, Nistapakti b'misha rotza limkar beso sadeo v'amatzon rotza l'knoso v'amocher toin cheno yochal l'kva mechiro shitachein shimefartzim shirotza limkar yimta misha yishalem mechir gavo v'amatzon muchon l'shalem kiviatza yoser gavo ayimudu l'farzim atriach konim kshiyadua shilo yimkar rak l'matzron, right? So he said, what happens if I want to sell it to somebody and I'm ready to sell it to him and that person's willing to sell the current price, pay at the current price, willing to pay a higher price, right? But the seller really wants to say, look, I want to put it on the market because I want to make sure that you pay the highest price. I'm planning on giving it to you, right? But in order to make sure that you pay the highest price, I need to put it up publicly. So I'm not really planning on selling to anybody. Is that a problem? Yeah. So he said, I'm not sure, right? Because on the one hand, I'm really planning on selling it to this guy, so I'm just wasting the time to all the other konim. Mitzad sheni, it's sort of true that the only way to know how much it could be worth in the open market is to open it to the open market. I would add, also, it may be that you're totally committed to selling to this guy and he's willing to pay any price for it, but yacholio, that's not true. Right? Yacholio, a buyer will come and offer $1 million over what this guy is willing to pay. You don't know that.
He qualifies.
Right? But I'm saying, right, so... But I think that's always true. I'm just pointing that out. But anyways, so the Alkoponim ains at Yashvatov Klape Akonim. He says it's not a nice thing. No, he says if you set a price above which you won't pay, so then Mutulafarsim Dishem Yimsamishit and Yotzim Mechirz. I would just add, that's very nice. But sometimes, right, he said I'm willing to pay anything. But he's not really willing to pay anything, right? He thinks, right, Lo Alla Al Daito, that the house that sold in Toronto for $800,000 last week is going to go for $1.6 this week. He thinks the maximum is $1.1. What does he know? It's really going to go for $1.6. So I'm not totally convinced that, just the mitzios, that there's ever such a case where I would not give it to the other person because you'll pay any price. I'm a mitzios love. I don't know.
Yeah,
okay.
If you have a contract that you say that...
It's not a contract. He's saying it's a commitment. That's what I'm saying. I'm not... If it's a contract, it's a different story. If it's a contract, I think it's vaday aser. Or if you say, I'm selling it to you and I'm just using people, then I think it's vaday aser, right? That I don't think is a shayla. I think... that's what the Sefer Hasidim said. Okay. One interesting question of how much we connect Onas Dvarim to Onas Mamon, this is from Rai Feldman. I think it's very clever. The Sefer HaChinuch seems to think that Onas Dvarim and Onas Mamon really are one big category, to the point where you're able to learn from one to the other. And his example is beautiful. He says like this: Lulan lafi adoma ein b'mashma shem b'Yisrael echad v'hischel v'hershia l'tzar l'chaveru b'dvarim haroim shel yaneu hashoma she'ev sharliyaz adam ke'evin she'ein la'hofchem v'od she'ev b'shtikasu k'mod al'cheirufin v'emes l'tzav atar liyaz adam ke'evin shosik v'machrifo k'mod l'mavarchav. Said the Torah can't possibly want that the average person, he's going to, you know, you're going to be humiliated and made fun of, whatever, and you're not going to say anything. You'll be like a, right, like a rock, right? Right, v'im ulay achenu mecharev b'ne'adam l'hashav al-dvar v'roi l'chocham sh'yashav derech silso ni'imos v'l'yichaz harbe kikaz b'chek silim yanuach. So Chinuch says as follows. What do we learn? There's the tzaddikim who are, you know, will never respond no matter what happens. But the average person is allowed to respond when he's humiliated. Why? We learn it from Bo Machteret. Because Bo Machteret, Abba Laharka Chashkeim Lahargo. Now that's a monetary-esque Sakonas Nefashos thing, and the Meir and the Chinuch are just saying, well, I can learn it from a Bo Machteret that you're allowed to respond, which already points in the direction that he thinks that there's a actual continuum. They share a common denominator such that we can learn from monetary theft to onat dvarim. Now, the question becomes, okay, well, how much does he mean that? Right? Does he mean that as like derech mashal, right? Or does he mean that literally, right? Does he mean like derech mashal, like I can sort of figure that out from the Torah's general approach to life? Or does he mean no, like I'm carrying it from one to the other? So, Ray Feldman notes you can test it with the following question. If you look at the Salmat Chaim, this is from Chaim Sonnenfeld, he has the following question. He said, depends. How far do you take this? Is it that at the moment someone's attacking me with words, I'm allowed to respond, right? Derech mashal. Or is it, if someone attacks me with words, and I attack him with words the next day, we're even, just like we would be with money, right? So, he says, Sarachian. So Ray Feldman says, well, it depends. If you think that onat dvarim and verbal attacks is actually like money, so you could at least think that if he insulted me on Sunday, I can come back with a zinger on Monday, right? And now we're all even. If you think that, no, it's derech mashal, it's like, if someone's attacking me, obviously I'm allowed to respond, but onat dvarim and onat mamon are fundamentally different things, so then I can't, right, you made fun of me on Sunday, and I come up with a good name to call you on Monday, I can't make it even on Monday, right? That's not how these things work, right? That only works by money, right? You stole $50 from me on Sunday, so I steal it back on Monday, gesunt dehei, right? You can't do that by onat dvarim. So I think that's an interesting...
Wouldn't this be a case of nezek?
What?
It's boshet or something.
Well, in a Hanabi, there's so much to be said about this. I don't want to get too much into a Shaila and Rosem Chaim Zonneveld. I just think it's an interesting point. Okay, Rav Bleich, I think, has a very nice piece here. I gave you the piece. I'm not going to read it inside, but you can look at it later. Rav Bleich also believes that Anas Dvarim and Anas Mamon are equivalent categories, but so far we've said that if you want to equate Onas Dvarim and Onas Mamon, you have to start with Onas Dvarim as the category, meaning say really Onas is about causing pain, and therefore causing people monetary pain is just a subset of causing people pain. Rav Bleich goes in the opposite direction and says no. Onas Mamon is the controlling category, and Onas Dvarim is a subset of it. How? He said Onas, what is Onas Mamon? It's where I, right, I misplace, right, or I misuse value, right? This is worth $100 and I pay $80, or I make you pay $120. I mean, I'm playing with value, right? And I'm not representing this item at its true value. But he said, what is onat dvarim if not that, right? It's where I am stealing your self-value, your self-worth. And he has a nice raya to it. He said, the Rambam includes a category which is not found in the Gemara, which is that you aren't allowed to ask someone a question, right? You aren't allowed to ask somebody a question in a field which is not as in that you know he's not going to be able to answer, right? So Blaik says, okay, but how can I ever ask a Shaila from somebody? Right, because if I ask a complicated shiloh from somebody, they might not know the answer, and I'm going to cause them pain because they wanted to know the answer. But the Rambam clearly says, no, it's where I have no reason to believe he should know the answer. I can't ask him a question. But the implication is, if somebody is the type of person who might know the answer, I'm allowed to ask him, even though there's a good chance he won't know the answer. So Rav Bleich says it's very simple. If I ask a Talmud Chacham a halachic question, he doesn't know the answer, so he may be upset that he doesn't know the answer to the question, but I was giving him his due by asking him the question. I was saying, I value you as a Talmud Chacham. I think you're the type of person who might know the answer to the question. Right? So even if Bisofo Shadavar causes him pain, right?
The Hanav being regarded that way.
Right? I mean, the fact that you're the type of person I would ask this question to, right? Legitimately, I really think you might know the answer, right? Means I'm machshev you. I'm giving you your Erech.
You could equally say, Yeah, I thought you were the type of person who would know this, and you don't. So yeah, that's
okay. Okay, fine. Anyways,
the Gemara gives precedent for that.
Fine. So Reb Bleich argues that really Onaz Mamon should be the controlling category, and what we should say, right, if you look at the beginning where I put the arrow, and Yerba said the Isra Onaz Varam Ein Lo Shaychot Klal Etzem Irachat Sar Veivizon Shesovam Matzane. Together Onaz Varam Hu Shal Yedei Divur Hu Marish Eno Machshav Hu Marich As Kaveru Ela Hu Shafel Venivze Beinav. Right, so I'm devaluing your Erech, okay. Right? Just like Onaz Mamon, where I'm devaluing or overvaluing, right, the object in front of me, you think that's really what Onaz Dvarim is about. It's about using my words to devalue you as a person. Okay, yeah, something to think about. You can read it inside, you can read the whole article inside,
see,
you can decide the argue with him.
To go on to this business of, well, I was machshev you, yeah, also. It's much more straightforward. There's an isser against me asking my Rebbe, for, you know, to answer in an area that he's not currently learning. Right. There's no isser for me to walk over to somebody who's not my Rebbe and ask him that same question. Why? Because for this other person, there was no expectation he would know it. It's Davka the person who...
Okay, I don't want to get too much into the Rambam's question. This is his raya. Even if you don't like his raya in the question, I think the vort is not a terrible vort. If you want to equate Onaz Dvarim Onaz Mamon, but in the direction of Onaz Mamon, not Dvarim, so you say there is a certain level of it, right? And to be fair, and this is something I can't get into, but the fact that Boshes, which is clearly a related category, has monetary consequences, implies that that's true, that you can actually put a price on how much I've, you know...
But is it reasonable to say then, similarly, that if you're going to ask a question that is neither a covet to them, but nor offensive, it's inconsequential,
yeah,
then it should be fine.
Yeah, so I think we're, no, for sure, going. That yeah. For sure. Okay, fine. Okay, so that is... the basics of Onaz Dvarim. I think, I won't go through a million cases. If you look at a lot of articles online, like Jeffrey sent me a bunch of articles, they basically go to, here's all the different ways you can violate Onaz Dvarim. I don't need to give you a laundry list of it. I will point out however, the Gemara basically does. Or the Gemara really does, and this is the point that that Dr. Brandis makes in his book, Gadola Maaseh, that as much as I would make fun of making a laundry list, when you're dealing with categories like Onaz Dvarim, it's actually helpful to describe it by example rather than set forth principles, because that's actually how we relate to things, right? When you relate to these sort of amorphous emotional categories, the best way of getting the point across is actually by giving poignant examples. So while I make fun of it, and I'm not going to go into it, I think the fact that it is important to note that the Gemara does do it. Okay, next point. We tend to, in our minds, overlap Onaz Dvarim with Onaz Dvarim in public, which we call Malbin Pnei Chaver L'Rabim. However, it is very clear those are actually two separate things. If you look at 15 and 16, I just gave you, the Rambam counts them as two separate mitzvos, right? Mitzvah Reishon and Aleph, Losas Elona Reishon and Aleph is Hushe Zainu Mahonos Ksatzeinu Bidvarim. 16, HaMitzvah Shin Gimel, Hushe Z Hiranu Shal Levayish Ksatzeinu L'Ksatzeinu. These are two separate things. So in addition to the problem of Onaz Dvarim, the general category of Onaz Dvarim, there's another problem, which is called Malbin Pnei Chaver B'Rabim. Now, obviously it's connected to Onaz Dvarim, because if you embarrass someone, probably, presumably, you are also violating Onaz Dvarim, but it is yet another Isser on top of that, called Malbin Pnei Chaver B'Rabim. So, what I want to do with Malbin Chaver B'Rabim, right, Gemara, right, it comes up in a Mishnah in 17, right? Relaz Ramo, Doyam Ramachal, Tzakachim, Vazamoados, Moados, Vamalbim Vizchavir, Birabim, Vamifer Brisha, Avram Avinu, Allah Shalom, Vamagalapanam, Batar Shalokalacha, Afo Pishish, Biadu, Toromaisim, Tovamain, Lokhain, 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 right? The missionary tells you it's a very bad thing, you don't get a chiluk, no lamaba. The Gemara goes farther, right? And the Gemara in 18, in the middle, in its most striking formulation, says, right, this is smack in the middle of it. Well, it has a few, right? First of all, it says it's worse than Habalishus Ish, and tells a whole story with David HaMelech, which I won't get into, but you can read the Agadah yourself. It's quite interesting. Then the Gemara, in what's probably the most important halachic, or potential halachic line, is when the Gemara says that it's Noach Laladam, it's better that you should throw yourself like Kivshon Ha'esh rather than Malvin Chayveir Barabim. And how does the Gemara get this? Or this is the end, actually, of this passage. From Tamar, because Tamar didn't, as Chazal are understanding the story, right, she could have embarrassed Yehuda publicly, brought out the signs, and she didn't. She sent it privately, and as Chazal understand it, I'll challenge this assumption in a minute. But as Chazal understand it, she was putting her life on the line. Because if she had publicly said, Yehuda slept with me, she would have saved her life. She was running the risk that Yehuda would say, would deny it, and she would end up dying rather than embarrassing Yehuda. So, no, la, la, adam. Sheyapil asmal kishanesh, val yabne chaveiru birabim. You find the same thing in Midrash Tanchuma, number 19. On this week's parasha, Amr of Shmuel Bar Nachman, the Sakana Gedola Yard Yosef Shemargu Echov Ein Biria Beolam Makiro Priya Beolam rather Makiro Vilama Amar Hotziu Kalish Me'alai. Right, Yosef was putting his life in his hands by sending everybody out. Right, he had, you know, his 11, you know, now angry, powerful brothers who had, you know, two of whom who had alone destroyed a city, and he kicked everybody else and lost all his protection, just not to embarrass him. Elakach Amar Yosef Beliva Mutav Ehareg Veloet Velav Vayesh Achay Bnei Mitzrim. It's better I should die than I should embarrass my brothers to the Mitzrim. So you have this notion that it sounds like it's Ehareg Veal Yavor. Okay. So the questions we have to ask about Mamon Chaveiro Barabim is, okay, first of all, what is the nature of the Isser? And two is, how egregious is it? And is it actually Hareg Ve'al Yavor? So as to the nature of the Isser, so as we've seen, the Rambam counts it as a separate mitzvah. In our Gemara, it seems to be part of the discussion of Onas Dvarim. So even if it's a separate lav, it's Onas Dvarim plus, let's say. There is another Gemara in Erechin, number 20, where the Gemara says, "Minayin l'roa b'chaveru davar meguna shechayv lochicho," in the context of tochicha, the Gemara says, how do you know that if someone does something disgusting, you have to rebuke him? Shenemar ochiach tochiach. Ochicho v'lo kibel minayin sheyachshav yachichenu. How do you know you have to keep doing it if he didn't accept it? Tamad l'mar tochiach mechal makom. Yachal v'il mishtanim panav. I might have think you even have to do it even if he's being embarrassed. Tamad l'mar lo tisa alavcheit. No. Because you're not supposed to tisa lavchet and tanya amri tarfon tamei ani amiyesh bedar azesh mekabel tochacha. I'd be shocked if anyone knows how to accept tochacha. Because im amr lo tol kisim min anecha, amr lo tol karim min anecha, amr lo zman azar zman amiyesh bedar azesh yude lochiach. I'd be shocked if anyone knows how to do tochacha properly. So the Gemara in Erechin sees it not as a derivative of onas devarim or an expanded onas devarim, but actually as a subset of the law of the halachas of tochicha, right? That I'm chayav to be mochiach somebody up to a point, and the fact is, even if by tochicha, even when I have an obligation to be mochiach, I have to be worried not to embarrass you. And that's how the Rambam actually quotes it. If you look back the rest of 16, right, he takes it from this pasuk, right? He takes the Gemara in Erechin as the halachic one, right? He says, "Zeh avon asher yikreu malvin echaver barabim vaz hara shabam yizeh who amro chochiach tochiach hazam yisech velotin selavchet." We actually learn it from the chiyav to mochiach. If you look at the Rambam in 21. Again, in Hilchos Deis, said the same thing. Mochiach es chavero tchilo yidaber lo kashos ad sheach leimenu shenemar lo tisa lavchet kach amro chacham yachal da mochiach ubanim b'shavas tamad lomer lo tisa lavchet. Etc. So, just in terms of defining the Isser and where the source comes from, right, you have the possibility that it's, you know, Ona'az Dvarim esque. Even if it's a separate Isser, it's Ona'az Dvarim esque. The other possibility is that it comes from Tochicha, right? It's a subset of Tochicha in the sense that even for valuable things, you can't embarrass people. If even for valuable things, you can't embarrass people, Kal v'chomer in general, you can't. But the, right, it's a subset of our sensitivities from the laws of Ochech Tochiach.
That doesn't mean it's not conceptually related to Onas Dvarim.
No, it's obviously also conceptually related.
It's not the same as Tochicha. All
nezek to somebody. Yeah, it's
no, but I understand, but it's still, it's a contrast against Tochicha. You're doing Tochicha.
Correct, but it's, until you, right, but it, I would just suggest, I mean, obviously there's a certain level of, you know, overlap in it. I would just suggest that there's, right, those are, I'll put it, they're two foci, right? On the one hand, it's an expanded Onas Dvarim. On the other hand, right, Tochicha teaches that even when there's good reason, right, to be pushing you, right, there's an upper limit called Malbin Bnei Chaveiro Birabim, right? Those are, right, they're not totally unrelated, obviously, right? They're clearly related. Obviously, they're related, right? It's you know, this is like, this is the problem with the beginning of the Chafetz Chaim, right? You can't argue with the fact that, yes, that I... if I did Lashon Hara, I also violated Anas Dvarim. If I spoke against my parents, I also did Kibbut Avayim. But the question is, okay, but conceptually, where do we start with? There's a million things involved. And yes, if I spoke in a shul, I violated, you know, Kvod HaMikdash. Yes.
I think the key is to understand what is Lo Tisa Alav Chet. Because you can say that Lo Tisa Alav Chet, that Im Ata Lo Mochiach Oto, you're going to. It's all
correct, but I don't want to get into Doha. The Gemara says at least one interpretation of that, Lotis al Chayt, is even when you're being Mochiach, don't embarrass him. The other one is, the other part of that is, don't not be Mochiach, because then you'll be held responsible. That's the other discussion there in Erechen. And if we're giving Sharon Tocha, I go into that. You're right. I mean, they're clearly related. But the Gemara has these two foci of where we learn it from. I will just note, again, this is not really about Tocha. But ironically, even though the classic case of Malbim Nechav Abraham that's Usur is Tochacha, that doesn't stop the Rishonim from saying that that is not always true. It's only sometimes true, right? So, right, because it's overridden by other values. And if you look at, I didn't give you the whole thing, I just gave you the Minchas Chinuch. On 22, where he says, Lo Levayesh, Mutter Lach Limo, right, when are you Mutter? Kenu Das Arama, Melech HaMishna, Makshal Zeh, Mashkot, Zeh Varam Mechal, Mutter Lach Limo, Hu, Melo Dami El Chayv Lach Limo, Vechein Nira Medivei Aram, Sham Venirali, Demash Chilik Aram, Aram Bechaber, Bedvarm Shemen Adam Lachavero, De Asr Lach Limo, Bein Dvarm Shemen Adam Lamakam. So the Chinuch and the Aram both say the difference is, whether he violated a sin ve'adam chaveru ben adam lamakam. So the Minchas Chinuch says, why? It says the machlimin hainu dafka mishchotu lechavero ein chavero levaisho the mutav sheyimchol alachet. Says it's not really ben adam lechavero versus ben adam lamakam. What it really is did he hurt you or did he hurt somebody else, God or man? And he says very simply, if the guy hurt somebody else, whether it be a human being or God, so now you're not embarrassing the person for your own benefit, you're embarrassing them to protect somebody else. So when you're standing up for somebody else, so obviously who gets the benefit, right? Who do we benefit? The victim or the, right, the criminal? The victim. If you are the victim, that's the only time the Torah tells you that you have to take into account his emotions, because you have to be able to waive your kavod if the only alternative is embarrassing him publicly. So that's just, you know, again, that's really a shir in tochacha. But again, from that perspective, that malbim nechaveru barabim is part of the discussion of tochacha, meaning I'm allowed to embarrass people for valuable reasons, but not for not valuable reasons. Well, how do we determine that? The way the Minchas Chinuch suggests is whenever it's I'm standing up for a victim, so it's malbim nechaveru barabim is overridden by other things, right? The only time that it isn't overridden is when the alternative is for me to give up on my kavod, in which case that's what I'm chayiv to do.
So back at the very beginning, when they gave the examples, what was Onos Dvorim, where you reminded him he's a Baal Tshuva, that was not part of Tochacha.
No, right? Not at all. He's done Tshuva already. That's not Tochacha, right?
So there is a difference. Because there is just being mean or whatever.
Right. Right, Malbim Chaveru Rabim is telling you even when there's a purpose, right, you have to be careful. Maybe that's a better way of saying it, right? Onas Dvarim is I'm causing you pain, presumably for no good reason, right? That's Usur. As we said, if there's a good reason, like you cause me pain, I'm actually allowed to do it, right? Malbim Chaveru Rabim tells me even when there's a purpose, it's not always Mutter.
Well, in Onas Dvarim, if there's a purpose, it really removes the Onas Dvarim. No, Onas Dvarim, part of it was, he did this, he said this to hurt me. Once I find out, he said this because he wanted to make...
No. I'm saying, I don't mean that. I mean the Chinuch's position, that if you embarrass me, if you hurt me, I can hurt you back.
Right.
Right. Right. Then that's my point, right? Is that there, we say, that's not called an advarim, because the purpose was revenge, right? And that's fine, right? Not revenge. It was habala hargecha, right? It was a bot machteret.
But it's not clear that, because the Gemara can also say that you want to give him tochacha. But inside the tochacha, he tells you, you know that you are a ger and everything. You're not allowed to do it. Even though maybe you do something else. This is tochacha.
The Gemara in Bava Metzia isn't talking about tochacha. The Gemara is talking about...
Don't remind him.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it's tochacha.
I think he's just a mean person.
Yeah.
Meaning, it's meaning possible because he gave a tochacha and he married him.
No, I don't think that there's any hint of that. And the our Gemara isn't talking about tochacha. The Gemara in Erechin is. If it was in the Gemara in Erechin, I would say that. But it doesn't sound that way. Yeah.
I said it's a chamur yoter. So even though it's tochacha,
right? No,
you're not allowed to do it.
Okay. Now, however, I will note that despite the fact that I don't love what you just said, the Magen Avot did, right? The Tashbis actually says exactly what Yaron said, which is in 24, right? Now that I've registered my opposition to this, the Tashbis says it, right? He says, Asarasohi, im asa kein derech toch ha v'chalos yizal avcheid, im asa derech v'izayun, shemaskel amasa rishonim, asher shav mehem, hu v'chalos ano ishaz amiso. He said, that's exactly the point. If you do it derech toch ha, it's mutter. If you do it derech v'izayun, it's asar. Right? If someone starts sinning and you say, don't backslide to the way you used to be, that's toch ha, and that's mutter. Potentially, unless it embarrasses him. If you do it there, Bizayon, it's not. So, okay. So the Magen Avos does think that you have to put them in conversation. I'm not convinced that you have to, but okay. Okay. Now, the Gemara had said, it's really bad. Not only is it bad, it sounds like it's Yeharik Val Yavar. Now, is it actually Yeharik Val Yavar? So here I'm going to do things outside, okay? Because otherwise we'll be here forever. Tosvos, in 25, and Rabbeinu Yonah seem to say yes. It isn't, when it sounds like it says Yaharik Val Yavar, it actually is. So how do we deal with the fact that there's only three Averes Yaharik Val Yavar? So Tosu says, no. Tosu says, there are only three Averes which are Mefurish Bikra, which is Yaharik Val Yavar, but Balvin Bechaveru isn't Mefurish Bikra, right? And therefore, it's Yaharik Val Yavar and it's just number four. Rabbeinu Yonah, in number 26, says, no. There's a halacha in Yaharik Val Yavar that not only are the big three Yaharik Val Yavar, but Abu Zrayu is also Yaharik Val Yavar, the subsidiaries of the big three Yaharik Val Yavar. And as the Gemara said, when you embarrass someone in public, their face drains, is like murder, and therefore it is Yaharik Val Yavar. The Magen Avos notes that there may be two levels, right? There may be Malbin Pnei Chavero without the Rabbim, and there may be Malbin Pnei Chavero with Rabbim. It may be that only the secondary category, meaning only public, both of them are Osir, but the Yaharik Val Yavar is specifically Malbin Pnei Chavero with Rabbim, because that's where you get that extreme reaction. So you can read the Rajbates in number 27. So Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah seem to really take this seriously, that it's Yaharik Val Yavar. On the other hand, the Rivash, not commenting on embarrassing, but making a general comment about all the times in the Gemara when it says things are sort of Yaharik Val Yavar, we look in 29, says, Lo Omru Bish Yaharik Val Yavar, Kamo Ba'osin Shalosh Averos, V'zelo Al Das Shum Adam. No one takes this seriously. V'lo Chash Averos, no one ever thought it, except for Tosos Rav Enyona, but no one else ever thought it. Ela Shederech HaChacham, Mahavik Vagdol Savono. So the Gemara says that it's, you should throw yourself in the fire. It's not to tell you it's Yaharik Val Yavar. Chazal exaggerate to tell you how bad things are. Kadesh Yishmar Adam Me'ekasha Behen. So they don't fall in them, just like they do by Lashon Hara, where they say Lashon Hara is Keneged, right? Magdil Avon is Keneged Shalosh Averos. Avot is Gilum Gilor Raiz V'chazam. We don't put someone to death for saying Lashon Hara. We don't put them to death for Malvin Chaveru Be'Rabim. So, this is part of a much bigger discussion. But whenever you have these, you know, exaggerated sounding statements, do you take them literally? Or do you not take them literally? So, the Rivash tells you as a systematic rule, don't take them seriously. They're there to tell you how bad the Aveira is, but they don't actually mean that it's Yaharik Val Yavar. The Meiri as well, in 30, just says, yeah, he says it's Derech Tzachus, right? It's just an expression. It's a way of talking. It's a way of communicating. But it's not literal. Mitzad Sheni, Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah said, no, if it sounds like it's Yaharik Val Yavar, it's Yaharik Val Yavar. Parenthetically, I don't know whether Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah would say the same thing about Lashon Hara. The difference is simply that our Gemara is prescriptive, right? It's better to throw yourself in, right? It's not just, it's equivalent to, it's better to throw yourself in. So there's an action implied. Okay, so how do we paskin? So, if you asked me, I would have said, like the Rivash, right? Lo ol al dash shum adam v'lo chash avenosh. No one ever thought it was Yaharik Val Yavar. Mitzad Sheni. There are serious poskim who think that this is not the case. It, in fact, is literal. So if you look, and I didn't put this on the sheet, but if you look in the Tshuva's Binyan Tzion, he has several Tshuvot where he says, yeah, in fact, embarrassing someone is Yehar Gval Yavar. That's exactly what it sounds like. Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in number 33, I gave it to you at length, and you can look at it, says, ah, you'll tell me the Meiri says it's not Yehar Gval Yavar, but that's very nice. But if I have Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah on one side and have the Meiri on the other side, who am I poskening like? I'm poskening like Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah, must be Yehar Gval Yavar. And he takes it so seriously that he has a long diyun about whether or why is it not true that I can be Mechel Shabbos to save someone from being embarrassed, because it's like murder, and why am I not allowed to murder somebody who's on the way to embarrass someone if you really think it's murder? Now, okay, that, Rishon Zalman, Afar Ani Mitachas Raglav, but I gave you Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin took, you know, is a bar, you know, is someone who at least can challenge Shlomo Zalman. We're in a tshuva in Chelek Aleph, Tshuva Mem Aleph, but about him, he just says, look, first of all, it's obvious that it is not literal. Second of all, even responding to Rav Shlomo Zalman's argument that it's Rov Rishonim because it's Tosfos Rabbeinu Yonah against Meiri, here's a list of 3,000 Rishonim who say that it is not Yehareg Ve'al Yavor. Okay, I don't want to get too much into it. But again, Rav Shlomo Zalman really does take it very seriously, to the point where he raises the question of why you don't have a din Rodev, why you don't have a din of Mechal Shabbos by it. There is a middle position that one could suggest, which is not that it's Yehar Gval Yavor, and not that it's not Yehar Gval Yavor, but rather, the Pnei Yeshua suggests maybe it's normally the Rambam says you're not allowed to give up your life by any other Aveira. Maybe what the Gemara is saying is that this is the exception, that if you want to give up your life to prevent someone from being embarrassed, you're allowed to. Not that you have to, but you're allowed to. The Chavalim Ben Imim, Rav Graubart, just suggests maybe this is not for the Rambam. Maybe this is simply the Machlokas Rambam and Tosfos in general, because the Rambam in general thinks that you aren't allowed to give up your life for anything but the big three. Tosfos thinks you're always allowed to give up your life for anything besides for the big three. It's not that this is an exception, this is the rule. Right? The only reason the Gemara says it's better to give up your life than embarrass people, so if you pass on like Tosfos, you're allowed to give up your life for the other 610 mitzvahs also. And the Gemara is just telling you, if you choose to give up your life, this is a good one to give it up for, because this is a really bad Aveira. But if you pass on like the Rambam, that you aren't allowed to give up your life for everything else, then giving up your life to prevent yourself from marrying that one is suicide. So that's how Rav Graubart takes it. Again, the Pnei Yeshua suggests that maybe even the Rambam would be modem. Fine. Okay. I gave you in 35. If you want to read inside, one of the problems that emerges from this is that if you paskin Rav Shlomo Zalman and you actually think that it's asur midaraisa to embarrass somebody even at the cost of your life, and you take the paradigm as the case of Tamar where she was in the right in court, right, and he was in the wrong, so then you have to wonder, how am I ever allowed to take anybody to court? Right? Meaning, isn't every case of a court, right, where I bring somebody to court and I accuse them of crime, aren't I embarrassing them? That obviously can't be the conclusion. So the Acharonim give varying different suggestions, which again I think are only necessary if you think that this is literal. If you don't think it's literal, then it's not such a big deal. I gave you one series of suggestions there. You can read it inside. Not for now. Another few things, again, I didn't give you a source, I just gave you a summary of it. Another few nafkaminas that could come out from this are, there's a long din in the Achronim. The halacha is a Kohen who kills somebody can't do Berchas Kohanim. So there's an actual din in Achronim, whether if a Kohen embarrasses someone publicly, he's not allowed to do Berchas Kohanim.
Separate issue of being a Sone, but whatever.
Fine. So Rav Gishtetner and Loras Nassan, Rav Vosner say, no, it's not that literal. But their interlocutors think that that's not the case, and in the Sefer Berkas Yosef, he actually says, no, if a Kohen embarrasses someone publicly, because it's Yehar Gval Yavor, it's like murder, and therefore he is possible. Another question is whether you're allowed to be mochel on it or not. Another question the Achronim raise is it under the Sheva Mitzvot as Abizrai or Vertzicha or not, or as a Goynizer on it? Okay, fine. Okay, I'll make two last points, and then we'll be out of time. Just as a very small point, no, you know, I'll make one last point. The rest I'll save for next week. Is Rav Brandis in Agada Lama'aseh dealing with this problem? Right? He takes the assertion, obviously, that it's not actually Hargval Yavor, but he tries to figure out, well, what is the message of the Gemara? And he's dealing with the problem that I noted before, which, if you take the Gemara literally, I would never be allowed to take somebody to court. So his thesis in the book, in general, is that Agadah, while not actual halacha, is supposed to guide your actions, but by emphasizing dialectic. So what he suggests is it like this, is like this. It can't be that the conclusion is you always have to hide people's crimes, right? It can't be that anybody who accuses someone of sexual abuse, for example, isn't allowed to publicize it, right? That can't be the conclusion of the Gemara. On the other hand, as he says, the message of the Gemara clearly is halbanat panim he clean neshek katlani. It's a deadly weapon. The message of the Gemara could be that if there's a way to accomplish the goal without embarrassing someone, you should. And he says, how does he get that? Tamar clearly was trying to save her life, right? And he thinks pshat in the psukim is that if Yehuda hadn't publicized it, then she would have publicized it. She was going to save her life one way or the other. But the fact that she first gave Yehuda a chance to come clean and didn't run to publicize it herself means that she was at least taking the risk, right, that maybe, right, he would, right, you know, speed through the trial so that she couldn't publicize. And it was very unlikely because she still had the, right, the ability to publicize the truth. What he's saying is that when you're doing it, you should recognize the two values. On the one hand, that no, people can't get away with their crimes. Two, embarrassing people can be deadly. So if you can accomplish both, then do it. Like Tamar, who at least started by doing it privately. And he thinks that's the message of the Gemara, which I think is a much more sort of matun way of concluding with it.
How do you make the Gemara structure then? From here you learn that you'd rather.
Right. So what he says is the way he reads it is that there was a small possibility that by giving Yehuda the option, right, to come clean, he not only would not come clean, but he wouldn't give her time to publicize it either, right? Because, you know, theoretically, it's a small chance. What he said is it's better for people to enter into a small risk, right, rather than embarrass someone. Because there is a risk, but it's not that you really should die. It's that you should run a small risk of the person not coming clean and then arranging the situation, right, that you'll be, you know, killed or whatever, right?
Well, it's interesting.
Okay, we're gonna have to end, but we'll discuss it afterwards. Okay, we'll pick up with this.